Today I would like to talk about, as it says, the pressures and fears and joys of motherhood. But a lot of these things will apply to all of us, and I'll make reference for this applying to myself. But in life, as you lead your life and as you, you know, have people that are underneath you, whether it's, you know, working with kids or having your own kids, you think about the legacy that you want to leave behind and how important it is as a leader in that life to do the things that you can to make a difference. And so some of the struggles or the stresses or pressures of this life sometimes are things that we deal with, and sometimes they're things that occur to us that really make it hard for us. So the first thing I want to point out today is balance. And so we need to have balance. And the scripture I want to look to is Luke chapter 10, verse 40 through 42, and it says this. It says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' Martha, Martha," which may be the first time that Marsha, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know. That was a bad joke. That was a preacher, bad. Don't do that again. May do it in the second service, though. "The Lord answered, 'You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed one, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it would not be taken away from her.'" A lot of times, that's the hard thing with moms, is balance, right? I think about today's day and age for moms, how they have to... Most moms have to balance a career, their family, all the sports things that they go to, balancing all those registrations and all those things that they get involved with, and, you know, taking care of the house and doing all the things that moms do. I mean, there's an amazing thing to see a mom in action, right? But all of us deal with balance. And Martha here was wanting to take care of all the needs, wanting to do all the things to take care of the needs for the family and making sure that everything was there for all the guests that arrived to meet Jesus and hear of him. And she got busy, so busy, she missed the point of really what it was supposed to be about. It was supposed to be a great time. It was supposed to be a time for her to enjoy herself and spend time with Jesus. And she became frustrated with her sister, Mary, because Mary wanted to spend time with Jesus, and Martha wanted to make sure everything was perfect and just great and fantastic. And I know that in my life, in my ministry, sometimes the balance that it is, it's hard to juggle in our lives, the balance of everything. You know, whether it's me being a dad, me working here at church and doing ministry and helping people outside the church and doing other things, sometimes it's hard to find the right balance. And moms know this especially, juggling all the things that you do. It's hard sometimes. Luke chapter 5, verse 15 through 17, it says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Now think about this for a second, and this is so important for us to realize, and going back to the Martha story about not allowing things to just occupy your time as a person. See, Martha was getting stressed out. She was getting overwhelmed by everything that she was doing, and she lost the joy of the occasion. And what does Jesus do here? At the height of his career, if you want to talk about his popularity, there's crowds. And just think about the crowds coming after Jesus. What were they wanting? A lot of times they were wanting to be healed, right? A lot of times they were coming to him for truth. They wanted to hear the gospel. They wanted to hear the message of God. They wanted to hear a proclamation from God. They wanted to see God do amazing things. And so these crowds would gather around to come and see Jesus. But what does it say that Jesus did here? That he withdrew to lonely places. He would take time and go off. And I know a lot of times, moms, you guys want to save the world, right? You want to just save the world. You want to save your kids. You want to save your husband. You want to save everything. You want to just take care of it all. But even Jesus, everybody coming after him, everybody pursuing him, he recognized the need for those things to wait. No matter how bad the need was, no matter how bad the miracle was requested or needed, Jesus understood that he couldn't do it all at once. And that he needed to spend time with his heavenly Father. And so he withdrew himself and he spent time alone and prayed and asked God. And why am I sharing this with us today, and especially with moms, is that sometimes you can't do your very best until you do the best thing that you can, and that's spending time with God. Sometimes God will equip you, re-energize you, restore you, give you that strength, and you feel worn out. And if you get to the point where you feel worn out, and that's for all of us in life, make sure you're spending time with God, because I believe wholeheartedly, he is the one that restores us. He's the one that gives us strength to face the difficulties that we need to face, or face the struggles, or the balance that we go through in life, of trying to balance things. Go to him first and really ask him, what are the important things that I need to take care of first? What are the things that I need to be doing now that I need to take care of? Instead of trying to take care of everything and take the whole world upon your shoulders, go to God, spend time with God, restore yourself so you don't get frustrated, so you don't get, you know, upset when life goes out of balance for you. Ask God for strength. And again, this message is not just for moms, it's for me too. It's for all of us to understand that we need to have balance in life. Instead of taking everything on and being pressured to get things done and do this and do that, take time out. Because sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes the things I think that are so important or so much need to be done, just like Martha, going back to her, that need to be taken care of, I get so fixated on those and find out later, that wasn't what was important. That wasn't what was needed. That wasn't what I needed to do. I got so caught up in that. Another scripture here, and most of us know this, we use this a lot, and I was about tempted to just not use it, but I think it's important. It's important for us. And it goes into our next point here in a little bit. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And that's Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. That is so important for us to be reminded of, that worry does not add anything to us. When you worry, you're wasting time. You're wasting it. So why allow yourself to be worried about these things in this life that sometimes aren't even really that important? Free yourself up. Try to create balance. Most importantly, from this point, spend time with God. Because I believe that God will restore you, give you the strength. And if you don't have that time carved out in your life on a daily basis, carve out that time. No matter how busy your schedule is, I believe that God will help you through that process of spending time with him. He'll help you adjust to what is important. And he'll help you, give you the strength for doing the task that you feel like you have to do and get done. He'll be there to support you through it. But make sure you take time out. I can confess to this too. Sometimes we get so busy and so doing things, and we can be doing good things, right? But we lose our strength. We lose our ability to be effective in what we do because we are so busy. Allow your time. If Jesus did this, if Jesus allowed himself to have time when the crowds were coming after him, pursuing him for all their needs, Jesus took time to be alone, to pray, and to be restored so that he could go back and do the things that he needed to do. Next point I would like to talk about is perfection. Expectations. We all have them, but sometimes moms carry that a little bit more. And they want to make sure that their house is perfect, their kids are perfect. They want to make sure that everything is just the way it's supposed to be. So a lot of us maybe deal with that perfection, and we want to make sure that we are doing everything and everything's right and everything's, you know, clutter-free and our house is perfect, our kids are got everything that they need, and we deal with this sometimes, the expectations that we have. scripture I want to read here is Genesis chapter 16, verse 4 through 6, and it says this. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress, talking about Sarah. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between me and you and me. Your slave is in your hands." Abraham said, "Do with her whatever you think is best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. See, sometimes perfectionism is about control. Sarai, wanted to make sure that she had a descendant. She wanted a child. And she didn't want it not to happen at all. She wanted it to happen. And she didn't really trust God when God said, "I'm going to give you a son," to Abram. So she figured out a way that she would take control of the situation. And she would do it on her own. And sometimes we try to do that. We try to control and try to kind of do things so that we can, it's like almost like, "God, I got this. I'll take care of it. I'll make sure it works. I'll do it this way so it's done and it's just right." And sometimes it's a desire in our hearts that we just want to keep from getting hurt, like Sarah. Maybe she was so afraid of not having a child that she was willing to stoop to any level to be able to get a child, having her maidservant sleep with her husband. But how many times on maybe a smaller scale we have done that? We've tried to take control of situations ourselves and tried to do things that we know that we didn't really wait upon God for. We didn't allow God to work in that situation. We wanted everything to be so perfect that we lost sight of what isn't really truly important. And we wanted things to just be perfect, I think it's one of the hardest things to see parents do and moms do, and we've experienced that. Try to take a family picture together, right? One of the hardest things, and then finally we give up, right? We're like, we're going to just give up. We're just going to take it as it is. That's always the threat, right? The mom gives, right? "All right, I'm just going to take it like that. You're going to be like that forever." But that's sometimes what we deal with, is we deal with control. And sometimes it can go to the point where it gets to bog us down and we lose the value of people seeing our heart, people seeing the love that we have, the care that we have, because we're so caught up with the control and the expectations of everything being a certain way. I want to read a little excerpt. This is Jill Savage, and she has a book called No More Perfect Moms. And I think this really kind of speaks to really the heart of this message today. This is an excerpt from some of the things that she's written. "Many of us long to create the perfect family. But more often than not, we fall off the pedestal of our own expectations. We long for quiet, but children are not are naturally loud. We desire a neat home, but family life inevitably brings clutter. Too often we set up our husbands, our family, and ourselves for failure. We have a fantasy picture in our mind of how our day or our events will unfold. When our expectations don't play out, we find ourselves frustrated, disappointed, and even angry. Perfectionism isn't healthy for us or our relationship. It feeds discontent. It fosters judgment. It causes us to compare our insides with other people's outsides. When we expect our kids to be perfect, we become a controlling mom. When we expect our husbands to be perfect, we become a criticizing wife. When we expect ourselves to be perfect, we heap judgment on our failures and become our worst enemy. So how do we break the chains of unrealistic expectations? How do we get out from under the pressure of perfectionism? It all starts with grace. God sees the best in us. His grace frees us from striving. It accepts, it heals, and most importantly, it equips us to give the gift of grace to one another. Moving from disappointment to grace requires two shifts in this perspective. First, we need to shift our perspective from who we think is in control, us, to who is really in control, God. When we trust that God knows what he's doing, we become more flexible especially when things don't go as planned for us. The other perspective change is this. The moment in which we find ourselves is just as important as the moment we planned it to be. We need to embrace what is instead of dwelling in or on what could have been. When we allow God to lead and we embrace the moment we're given, our hearts become compassionate and flexible. A grace-filled mom handles her kids' shortcomings with love. A grace-filled wife allows her husband to make mistakes without holding his failures against him. A grace-filled woman sees herself through God's eyes and resists the temptation to beat herself up when she falls short of perfection. By moving away from unrealistic expectations, we crawl out from under the pressure of perfectionism. And I thought that was really good. Really good of her to share that and just some good knowledge. Because a lot of times we have these expectations and we just dwell on these expectations. And if they don't get done, what happens? We get sad. We get discouraged. We get disappointed. And a lot of times we need to just be okay with what is in front of us. What God has given us in the moment. And be able to focus on those things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10, it says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I will delight in my weaknesses, in insults, and hardships, and persecution, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I love that passage, and it was such a great hope for me as a teenager, knowing that despite my weaknesses, because I could sit there with you guys and look at me and say, well, okay, he doesn't do this right, he doesn't do this right. And knowing that God can use my weaknesses for his strength, that is just so amazing. And it should be an encouragement to all of us, and it should be encouragement to you moms today, that you don't have to be perfect. You're not required to be perfect. In fact, it says here that it is in your weaknesses that God shines even more. That it is in your imperfection that God is able to reveal himself to your children, to your husband, to others, because of the grace that you have in your heart. So it's by recognizing that you're not perfect, that you don't have to be perfect, you don't need to be perfect, that it allows you to accept the things that are. It allows you to move beyond the expectations you have and just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the time. Take the pressure off of being this perfect mom, this image that's not reality really, and be somebody that just loves Jesus. And I tell you what, when we just love Jesus, I believe that love pours out of us. And so the more that we can have of Jesus, the stronger we are. The better we are. He works beyond our weaknesses. Thank you, Lord, for me. Because I know I have some serious weaknesses. But God says, Eric, I'm going to work through your weaknesses. I'm going to make you a good dad. I'm going to make you a good husband. But you got to allow me. You got to focus in on me. You got to help allow me to work through your weaknesses. And that way I can shine. I can be better through you. Next thing I want to talk about is identity, image. And a lot of times we worry so much this about parents, about, you know, we worry about our kids, you know, going to a restaurant. We worry about, and I'm not saying we should tell our kids not to do something. I mean, I'm with my kids a lot sometimes at certain places and saying, don't do this, don't do that. But I want to say that let's not get caught up in the image. I think Facebook has really damaged us in a lot of ways in this. That, do you realize that there are statistics, and I should have looked this up again, but there's statistics that show us on about Facebook, that when people get off Facebook, they're more depressed. They're more sad because they feel like that the image on Facebook of seeing families together and seeing people, that they feel like their life is worse off than somebody else's. And Facebook is the greatest lie there ever was. I mean, there's some truth on there. But a lot of times, what happens when we put stuff on Facebook? It's not our worst. It's not when the house is cluttered. It's usually on a setting of an image that we want to create to show everybody else how good something is, how proud of our kids we are, or how this was just an amazing purchase of this new vehicle, you know? We don't want to show bad things most of the time. I mean, most of the time if you go through, there are a lot of good things, a lot of positive things. And sometimes that makes us feel bad about ourselves. And moms, I want to encourage you that the image that you have of yourself is really not what's important. It's not as important as you make it out to be. It's not as important as I make it out to be. You know, one thing I think about, I was at a funeral Friday, and that what you take in this life, it's about relationships. You can't take material possessions with you. You can't take, successes that you've had, really. What you really take is the relationships you built, your relationship with God, and your relationship with the people around you. That's what you take. You can't really take anything else out of this life except those things. Matthew chapter 20, verse 19 and 21, it says this. It says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other on your left hand in your kingdom.'" Now, I can't really tell. Maybe I'm reading a little bit into this, but it seems like their mom wanted them to be in that position of power or that image of like, yeah, we're up there. We're in the upper echelon of Jesus' team, and that's awesome. And, you know, sometimes we as parents get so caught up in everything that really it doesn't always define what's going to happen. You know, your kid playing starting varsity doesn't always matter 10 years from now. Your child getting straight A's one year and not the next, it's not a huge crisis as you may think it is years down. I will tell you that my grades were not very good my senior year of high school. And I'm not saying that that's what you should do. I'm just saying God can still work in your life. It's not a totally desperate situation where everything is lost and everything is gone. So why do we try to create this perfect image? Why do we want to try to create this perfect family setting? And I think a lot of it goes back to that control. We want people to think well of us. We want to be known for something. And sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes moms try to live through their kids. Don't try to do that. Take that burden off. Because you won't be happy and your kids won't be happy. Just try to imagine yourself knowing that they're with Jesus. That's probably the most important thing. Don't try to create this image of trying to be something you're not. Be yourself. Be who God created you to be. I know in ministry for me, there's been times where I wanted to be somebody else. You know, when I started a youth ministry, it was usually thought of as that you had to play guitar to be a good youth pastor. And I had to fight against that. Even my own pastor that I worked for, and they hired me full-time at the church, he was saying, you know, originally we thought we were thinking about somebody to come in and have play guitar, play music, but I guess you'll do. I think he was partially joking, but it just kind of struck me as something that, wow, you know, I'm not the perfect image that you wanted. But that's okay. You don't have to be this perfect image. What you do have to do is know that you're loved and that you love God. And God can take you where you need to be. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Isn't that great? Isn't that great? He was telling this to Jeremiah, but I believe it's a truth for all of us, is that God formed us. God knew who we were, and God set us apart. God said, you don't have to be like everybody else. You're not going to be like everybody else. You're going to be who I created you to be. And you seek me, you serve me, you be what you what I want you to be. Last part here is suffering. And I don't mean one thing I definitely don't mean, because I've seen three kids being born. I don't mean that moms are worried about suffering for themselves. What do moms worry about most? It's their kids suffering. That is the hard thing, you know? It's hard to see your kids suffer. My mom, we have been through a lot together. I think she'll be here later today, but one of the hard things, I remember on different things, I could talk about stories, but one particular story was when I was 5 years old and I had to have surgery on my leg. First surgery that had been done, heel cord lengthening in this area, 1970, I guess that would be 78. And so I was going into surgery, and back then you just had this big open room and it was dark. I remember being scared, 5-year-old kid. And there was other people in this room, so it was even scarier. You know what I mean? Everybody's laying on beds, and here I am laying on a bed and getting ready to go for surgery. And I remember my mom reading me a book and just being scared. And I know my mom would have took my place if she could, you know? But she couldn't. That's probably the hardest thing for moms, isn't it? Is to see their child suffer. But the hope that we can have as parents or as moms is to understand that that suffering is for a reason. John chapter 19, verse 26 through 27. And if you want somebody to relate to, of course, we can always look at Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is what happened to her. When Jesus saw his mother there, and of course, he was on the cross, he's looking down at his mom and the disciple whom he loved standing there, John. He said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciples, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. I want to think about that really we can look at, see what's there, but what I want to think about is the fact that she was there when most of the disciples had deserted Jesus. John and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were there. She saw it all. How painful that must have been for her. So what hope can we find when we see our child suffer? What hope can we find when we see our kids go through things? What hope is there? Well, in Jesus' case, it was to accomplish the greater good. It was to accomplish the fact that we were all sinners, that we needed a Savior. We needed someone to die for us, and that needed to happen. The suffering needed to happen. In my case, it was knowing that I couldn't walk, and I was going to have surgery that would potentially, not a guarantee, but potentially help me to walk normal. And so as a 5-year-old, my mom was willing to let me go through that, even though she didn't want to see me suffer, because she saw the greater good in it. And sometimes we are so afraid, as a young mom, I've seen my wife do this, you want to protect them. Us guys, you know, there's been nights where I've held my baby upside down or something. Moms, to just make sure, you guys do an awesome job and make sure your child is well taken care of. And it's awesome to see. And it's so hard as a mom to let anything bad happen to your child. But sometimes in life, there are important lessons to be learned, or things that can be positive that can happen. I know if it wasn't for my mom, sometimes even pushing me with my cerebral palsy, I wouldn't be where I was today. If she didn't have the guts to kind of push me in the direction to tie my shoes, I probably would have never been able to tie my shoes. And so some people may think that's tough love, but that's almost sometimes required love, to allow a child to suffer so that they can see their child succeed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. We see this in the church, you know. This is sometimes happens in the church. This happens to all of us. We know that suffering sometimes has an important distinction of why it's important. And that suffering, a lot of times, suffering plays an important role in what we deal with in life. In other words, on the flip side, we can take it one way or we can take it the other. I love this. I love it in the sense that you can either be the victim or you can become the victor. Right? You can either be just a victim all your life and because you've suffered, or you can allow the suffering to make you become a victor, that you allow that suffering to mold you and shape you to be what you need to be. And this is what happened in the early church for many believers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, it says this, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering," not just suffering, but severe suffering, "with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so that you became a model," I love this, "a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message ranged out from you not only in Macedonia and Asia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." Now think about this for a second. Because of their severe suffering and because of their understanding it was for a greater good, they've become a model. They've become an ambassador. They've become a spokesperson for what Christianity is all about, for their faith in Christ. And not only just in the area where they're at, but everywhere. They've been known because they've been faithful to the Lord. Through the severe suffering, they've been able to spread the gospel even more. "Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report the kind of reception you gave us." So in other words, Paul doesn't even have to go to a certain location and hear. I mean, to tell them, "Oh, did you hear about what's happening? Did you hear about what is happening in Thessalonians to them?" No, they're already telling us. They're already hearing from other sources what has been done because of you, because of what you're modeling, because of what you're doing through your suffering. It says, "They tell you, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God." So that's just an amazing thing. Again, I want to just stress this as parents, as moms, that a lot of times the suffering that we see our kids go through isn't there just to harm them, in a sense. A lot of times the suffering is there to teach vital lessons or allow a greater good to be accomplished and to happen. Kind of share a little funny story before we close. Isaiah, my youngest son, he had his tonsils out when he was 3. And I tell you what, it was hard for me, but even harder for Shelly. And to actually have him go through surgery and have his tonsils taken out, we went to Charleston. And one of the funny things that happened through that, I mean, it's funny now, it wasn't funny at the time. I didn't know what to do. But we tried to time it out so his pain medicine was going to wear off on the ride and the drive to Charleston. So we called ahead, or had the doctors call ahead, so his prescription would be ready at a certain pharmacy in Parkersburg. And we were going to stop there on the way home so that we could, you know, not miss a gap in his time for his medicine, so that he would make sure that he didn't have to suffer or have any pain. Well, we go up through the drive-thru, and we find out that they did not fill it. They got it, but they didn't fill it. They hadn't done it yet, even though it was a couple hours ahead of time. And then later, we found out that their computer shut down. So Shelly was upset. She was in the back, and I was in the front. I didn't know what to say. My wife was like, "Open the door! Open the door! I want to talk to them." You know, because she was so upset for them not having the medicine. But that's a lot of times what happens in life. You know, as a mom, you want to protect your child. You don't want to see any harm come to them. But I know for me, speaking to somebody that's been there, done it, that sometimes suffering isn't the end. Definitely not the end. Sometimes it's through that suffering that you become a better person. Sometimes it's through the suffering that you can do greater things through that. Another example of this is, I think about this of John Walsh, America's Most Wanted. Horrific thing to happen to his son, but how many other children has he saved because of America's Most Wanted? And sometimes you don't understand why things have to happen to you as a parent, why things have to happen to you in this life, regardless. But you got to know and understand God has a plan and a purpose for it. And that suffering in itself is not the end of everything. It oftentimes can be a beginning. It can be a new start. It can be something that could be positive in someone's life if it's used correctly. As we end this message, and we look back on some of the things that we talked about today, I just want to encourage you to have healthy balance. Try to balance your time. Balance the things that you're doing. Spend time with God, most importantly. And I think that's really the key to having balance in your life, is not trying to be the super mom, not trying to do everything. Take time with God. He's your source. He's your strength. You do such an amazing job, but allow yourself to have time to rejuvenate, to restore yourself, just like Jesus did. In the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the craziness, he took time to be in solitude and took time to pray. Don't live a perfect life. Don't try to live that. We need a Savior. If anything in this life, we learn that we can't do it all ourselves. We can't be perfect. We can't live up to that. We can't live up to all the expectations we have. Enjoy the moment. Don't try to make everybody around you and yourself focus on everything that doesn't happen, but focus on the things that do happen at times. I'm not saying that we shouldn't correct. I'm not saying that at all. But make sure your expectations are grounded. They're solid to be able to be effective rather than having expectations that no one can reach, even yourself, that you can't succeed, that you can't be happy, that you can't have joy. Remember, your identity is really in Christ. He is the one that you really are identified with. His love for you. His love for you for others. Remember the identity that you have in Jesus. Not trying to create your own, but allowing Jesus to be your source. Remember that suffering for your kids, for your family, even though painful, even though you should definitely care, sometimes those things have to happen. Doesn't mean you're a bad mom. It doesn't mean you're a bad mom. Sometimes the suffering is key for growth to happen. I really am thankful, and I know God has done great things through a lot of moms. Continue the good work. Continue to just enjoy yourself and have fun. And I hope you have a great day today. Let us pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for everything you do. I thank you for mothers. I thank you for the effort that they put into it. But as I said before, Lord, this message isn't just for moms. It's for all of us, Lord. For myself, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to balance. But Lord, that I would take time with you to spend alone. And Lord, just because I'm busy doesn't mean that you're not important. And you're my source. You're my strength. And I need to recognize that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to have this perfect image in my mind. And help me to have realistic expectations. Help me to have expectations that fit with what you want rather than what is inside my head for a perfect evening or a perfect day. Help us not to just lose a day because we had expectation for something greater. Help us to enjoy each day with what you give us and what's handed to us, and in knowing that you are still at work in our life, even though things go awry or go terribly wrong. Lord, you're still with us and you still love us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize our identity is in you, that you are our key, that through you we are made whole. You made us. You created us. You knit us together in our mother's womb, Lord. You formed us and you set us apart for a greater task. And Lord, also, Lord, help us to accept suffering at some levels. Lord, we don't want suffering. None of us want to see our kids suffer. I definitely don't. But Lord, I understand and I know from my own experiences that through suffering, I learned, I grew, that sometimes the consequences in life or the struggles I faced or the hardships or the surgeries that I had to go through actually were things that helped me to be a better person. It helped me value more things. So I just thank you for that. I thank you that suffering can be a positive. And Lord, I thank you for moms. Be with them today. Encourage them today. Help us as children, as fathers, as husbands, to encourage our moms, that we'd pray for them, that we'd be there for them, that we'd help them through things. Most importantly, help us to just share love and care for our moms today. In your wonderful name I pray, Jesus. Amen.